Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, County Exec Chris Ronayne. Now, this is before he called out the Mike DeWine and the Ohio State House and Senate and everybody for putting funds in that would actually help the Brook Park project. That's before with him commenting here recently. And as a reminder, he's a county executive whose domain includes downtown and Brook Park, continues to find hard-hitting rebuttals to the Brook Park proposal as he's dug up a quote from Drew Carey from his Cleveland Magazine hit, I didn't want to say it came out last week, calling moving the team out of Cleveland, out of downtown, a slap in the face and insulting. Does Drew Carey, can he stop the moving trucks in their tracks?
Can't do it. Now, I want you to tee off on Drew Carey the way that you want to.
All right. Listen, I really like, we're going to do the compliment and then the insult.
Yeah. Like, you watch any of his shows.
I will watch anything that man does.
You know, Price is Right. Didn't have that massive of a drop-off from Bob. Still a drop-off.
I think.
But not that massive of a drop-off.
I think Drew is insanely talented. I would love to have a beer with Drew Carey. What in the hell does Drew Carey know about the city of Cleveland and its football? Drew hasn't lived here for 40 years, which is fine, but you haven't lived here for 40 years. And there's a quote from 10 years ago where you were like, they lose too much. It's not for me. So, like, I'm sorry. When did you become a Browns fan again? I missed that point. I missed the plot where you got back on the bandwagon, and then a Fairweather fan who doesn't live here gets to tell everybody, gets to weigh in just because he is a known quantity. I think that's an abuse of his position as a celebrity locally, and I think it's an asinine thing of Chris Ronayne to send out the quote like it damn means something to anybody in Cleveland. With love and respect to both Chris Ronayne and more importantly, Drew Carey.
I think that should be reserved for, you know, like when Tom Hanks was the voiceover for when the Guardians did the announcement of changing the name to the Guardians. Like, that's the role that Drew Carey should have, not getting involved in local politics.
Also, if Tom Hanks said it, and I was thinking about Tom Hanks,
lived here for like 3 years, 50 years ago, and he's been riding that for a very long time, but I don't hate it because I like Tom Hanks.
Yep,
and but he flies in and does things at the most... the right times.
And I'd still tell Tom Hanks to get bent.
Yeah, but he's got no influence on the local part of this city, or shouldn't have any influence on this city in any sort of way. And I like Drew Carey, but I feel exactly the same way.
With love, respect, and other things. And not your place anymore, Drew.
Omaha!
All right, the fans, Greg Giannotti. This was this morning. Obviously, there's been a lot going on in New York with Tibbs being fired, but he unloaded on that loser, Carl Anthony Towns.
They waited and waited and waited to go all in on a couple of guys, and the biggest one being Karl Anthony Towns. And they went and they traded for him, and he's making $50 million a year, and at the core, he's a loser. That is their biggest problem. The guy is a loser. He's a losing player. He complains. He is soft. He is, up until this point in his career, a loser.
All right. Yeah, except you traded for him, knowing all that.
Well, and I think the firing of Tibbs now kind of is he gonna go on the air tomorrow and be like, "So it looks like Cat's probably staying."
Yeah, you know, I guess it was Tibbs that was a loser.
I guess Tibbs is now the loser. I didn't know you could say loser that many times in 15 seconds, but Greg hit the quota.
Also, for losers, he's been in two straight conference finals.
Do I not throw loser around enough? Maybe I should throw it around more.
We're not that show.
We're not that show.
Like, I'll call you a slappy. I'll call you a slap.
Why does loser feel so personal? It feels like a next level in our world for some reason.
Because when we were growing up listening to sports talk radio, they threw that around like chiclets, and it's the worst thing they could say. You can be a bad father. Better not be a loser. Right? I don't care what you did to that girl. He's not a loser.
I always think the guy's a loser, an L7 weenie, and then you just kind of go from there.
That's the one?
That's the one I go to.
That's the one where it pushes it over the edge for you?
Not pushes over the edge. It's just what my brain instinctively thinks to, and I'm like, I can't call someone an L7 weenie.
Never would. All right? I'll call you a bad leader. I'll call you a chach, but I'll never call you an L7 weenie. Omaha! We'll accuse you of crop dusting. But I'll never call you an L7 weenie. The Seattle Mariners have announced they are retiring the number 51 due to Randy Johnson and Ichiro, which brings me to my new point.
Ichiro's the better Mariner.
Nope. Teams should only retire a number if two players are worthy of the accomplishment.
Wait. You need a second player to be worthy of it being retired?
So
the moment I end my career, I have a 15-year career. I am the I'm everything that Drew Carey thinks he is to represent a city. Like, I'm awesome.
Yep.
And I need to then like gift it off to the perceived next awesome player to keep that going.
Exactly.
To then be able to get it retired. So yeah, we have a dual retirement.
We're retiring too many numbers. So it is wasteful if you retire a jersey number of only one player.
But that
player.
Just feels like it's luck. It would take luck and circumstance to not only be able to hand the next number to the person, but then them actually see that whole entire career through.
All right. Then I think you allow. I don't think you allow. It's no longer your number. Get a second player there, because it might take. Was it 3 years between Randy Johnson and Ichiro?
Do you take like a perceived great player that was like on the cusp of it, and then like you then have to adopt that number if you think you're going to be Hall of Fame worthy?
No.
To line up for the double.
No, this is just how it has to be. They didn't plan going from RJ to they didn't go
RJ.
From, I know. I didn't like it the second I did it. They didn't plan on going from the big unit to Ichiro. It just happened, and now that number's worthy of being retired. This would put so many numbers for like the Browns back into circulation because you haven't used them for a
few years. How is Ichiro's number not already retired?
Because they were waiting.
Did you just make the Hall of Fame what last year? For RJ. They were not waiting for RJ.
You gotta milk it. You gotta milk the retirement of a number. Just like a good.
I'm ready to go into the hundreds. I'm ready to go into the hundreds.
Stop it.
If we have so many numbers that you need to double up, I'm ready to go into the hundreds. I'm ready to start that. We can get
so
this thing
going. So instead of having higher standards for retiring jersey numbers, we're just going to add a third digit?
Well, it's getting awkward. Like, Luka's got, 77? Like we're getting into that territory where a lot of good players are now having the higher numbers, and it's getting just a little awkward to see 77 as one of the game's best.
Yeah, but this wouldn't be a problem if you were Luka and you're like, wait, how am I going to get my number retired?
It'd be weird if he was like 103 as well, but I think we'd get used to it.
I mean, think about it. How much more efficient would it have been if you're the Lakers and, all right, Kareem has the number first, then Shaq has it. Now, once Shaq retires, now Shaq and Kareem have the same number, 32, which is what he wore in Orlando. Now you may retire the number. Two players, one number. I'm telling you, it's going to cut down on this issue of overcrowding of retired numbers.
They're going to figure it out. It's going to be like 34 years from now. You didn't figure anything out.
I just did. Unretire singular numbers, and then when somebody else is singularly great, then you can re-retire it.
Hate the double retirement.
Why?
Hate it.
Why?
Because I feel like retiring a jersey number is so singular. It's so towards that person and the relationship with that person and the number. When you have two people, you clearly have like what I did to start off the segment or the topic, which is Ichiro was the better 51.
But see, that's the point, is you would get two generations of people on those days where you're trying to milk in that
greatness. What if you like one but don't really like the other? What if you like one but then the other one is like, yeah, it wasn't really ever my favorite,
it's like
but
TV
you just
shows.
Happen to have
you can show up in that jersey and celebrate that retirement of that side of the jersey.
How is that like TV shows?
Because if you don't like one, you don't have to like, okay, I like all TV shows because I had to like one. Okay. It wasn't a good analogy.
Okay.
It wasn't good. We started it. You know what? I should have just thrown up my hands like Mac. That's like TV shows. The surprise we see coming from a mile away with your Cavaliers. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Pew, 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 pew. I don't know that I can claim that I'm surprised that Thibodeau got fired today. Tom Thibodeau, the head coach of the New York Knicks, because... Like, before the playoffs, I had a pretty staunch record of saying he's the obvious fall guy if this doesn't work.
Yeah, it kind of felt like it was the expectation after the lackluster regular season and how they just kind of limped into the postseason. I was convinced that if they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, he would save his job. But I also, at the time, I don't think anybody even thought that was possible to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals
so
for them.
I thought because by halfway through the previous segment, halfway through the previous series, I don't think we expected them to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then there's just been a couple days since it got, like, there was part of me that's like, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen right after.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting. We had a caller earlier say, this is a good thing because it weakens the East. I don't know we're there yet. One, because the East is always really weak. Like, especially, like, if Giannis actually does get traded to the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I mean, it might never be easier to win the East if your real only competition is maybe Indiana again or Boston. I think it's TBD, though, to say that this opens up the East for the Cavs. One, it's already super open. Two, the Cavs kind of have to tend to their own side. And three, let's see who they hire.
Well, let's see who they hire. And although I'm pretty convinced they're just going to use this to do what the Cavs did. Where all right, here's your pound of flesh. We made some changes, and we're going to be able to run it back with Kat, Mikal Bridges, and you can shut down all the Kat for Kevin Durant rumors and anything else that would accompany that. But I don't know. Maybe they're not actually done. Maybe this is just the beginning domino, and then they really are going to shake it up in a big-time way. Because like, how much do you ignore the regular season and how they were just basically a 500 team from January 1st on?
I don't think it's because of that. I think you prescribe any problems or shortcomings to Tibbs is too old school at 67 and he ruins players, right?
Well, and the whole meeting they had about a month prior to the season ending where Mikal Bridges was very upset about it all. But there is like a concept with the proof being in the pudding, right? Like if you're so hell-bent on Tibbs running players in the ground, and he's done it. Like Derrick Rose legitimately should in part blame Tibbs for what happened to him, but instead he went and joined him in Minnesota, and he joined him in New York. He joined him in multiple places, and like everyone that plays for him, for the most part, with the exception of this last year with the Knicks, seems to come around to the Tibbs logic and way of thinking. Like, but now are players just, I don't know, I'm not going to call them soft here, but is like the Tibbs way just too harsh in 2025?
No, because I still think there are more coaches who coach super hard than we get to. I think Mike Malone is. Mike Malone's a dude who at points has been accused of going too hard in the paint with his own players. So The Athletic has actually put out, and I hate when they do this. It's The Athletic staff that has done this. It's like, because you don't want one guy specifically to get a bunch of crap for putting this list out.
Mm-hmm.
We all did it together. All right, I digress. So here are the known, because there's like, no one in Cleveland's going to know who the hell Dave Bliss is. Not that Dave Bliss. Different Dave Bliss. Better Dave Bliss.
Mm.
James Borrego, the guy who was the runner-up last year, take me to New York. Johnny Bryant, Cavs assistant.
Yeah.
Mike Brown, former Cavs head coach.
Okay.
Taylor Jenkins.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Who has to be on this list because he was just another fired head coach.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Of the Grizzlies, Darvin Ham.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Mike Malone. I don't think. Chris Quinn, who
this
was another candidate.
This list isn't really that great. I like Chris Quinn. But this list isn't really that great.
No, wait for it. At the bottom here, Jeff Van Gundy.
I love Van Gundy on television. Not as much as a coach, but on television.
And
I love him.
Jay Wright.
Oh, it's funny about that. I was texting with buddies earlier today, and that's my buddy threw out Jay Wright as the name. Instant name that he threw out the moment we were talking about Tibbs being fired was Jay Wright. The Villanova connection, everything associated with that. Like, there's an obvious through line for if he was going to take an NBA job, this would be the job to take.
I just think...
Which actually makes you wonder how many college guys would... Like, should we bring Calipari into the equation too again? Like, I mean, I just wonder. I wonder how many college guys should we enter into this equation with this?
I just think... I don't think he's going to want to do it because I like, and by the other, who was the other, guy, who was the guy who almost took the UConn coach?
Dan Hurley.
People are suggesting because it's in New York that he might be willing to do this. And I'm like, wait, you just fired one all time hard ass for another, for a guy who honestly is more insane.
No, but the way this goes, by the end of their cycle, people will be like, Patino, get him to the Knicks.
He is like already in the area.
That's the thing. Anyone that's close. St. John's is close. They'll be like, all right, Patino, let's do this.
So from the least surprising surprise, I guess is how I would say it, which is our guy. Now we can say that because he's departed from the Knicks job. Our guy getting fired. You asked us of John Fanta, and he kind of gave it like you had maybe stink-faced him, right? Would you be surprised if the Cavs actually break up the core four?
Oh, wait, what do you mean by he seemed stink-faced by that?
Because he was like, no, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, he went on this big impassioned Garland rant. And so, I mean, I clearly, depending on what he believes with the breakup of Garland, I'm of the belief, like, if I see the ESPN notification or whatever notification on my phone that they actually made a trade, I'll be surprised. Like, yes, would I do something with this team? Yes, I would. I've said that repeatedly. I think the very first day I was like, I would trade Jared Allen. And then as we've gone further and further along here, I'm like, I would trade Jared Allen. I would see if you get a great offer for Darius Garland, do it. But I still don't think they're going to actually do it. I think Kobe Altman has dug his heels in with this roster. And if he wasn't going to do it last year, I'm not convinced he's going to do it this year.
So I think this is where there's the should versus will they. If they make a move, until they make a move, we should take Kobe at face value on what he said in his press conference at the end of the season. Because the whole point of that press conference was to lay the groundwork for like, what is the, like, if what's, I guess, what's the worst case scenario? Because I think the worst case scenario is you bring the core four back and you don't really do much to the bench. That is the worst case scenario. But that's one you have to plan for. Because any deviation off of that, if you're Kobe, you can then say, we didn't know this trade was going to be out there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So he put out the tracks to have a conservative offseason because that's the safest play in case nothing happens.
Which, by the way, was the same thing he did the year prior. Obviously, he got rid of J.B. Bickerstaff, but when it came to the players, he did the same exact, he said the same words, he said the same exact thing, essentially, which is, we feel very good about the development of player X, Y, and Z, and we believe in this core.
But to that point, you do that because you don't want to set the wrong expectation. Right, you'd rather say, "Hey, we're gonna be very safe here. We love this team, yada yada yada," and then make a trade you couldn't pass up and spin it that way. Then we got to be aggressive in what we do, and you bring back the core for, you know, 4 months from now.
Yeah, no denying it. Now, am I not taking in enough value or enough? Am I not I mean, not accounting for enough of that. The NBA right now seems like they're just a wheeler and dealer type of league. Like, it just seems like everyone wants to make these deals. Like, again, I talked about Minnesota earlier. Minnesota wants to make these big drastic changes in order to get Ant, basically a second person to go along with them, to the point where I saw one of the trades earlier today had Darius involved with us getting back Julius Randle, which doesn't really work in many ways for us. It was weird, but that was like, that's part of what people are talking about. And Minnesota in back-to-back seasons have gone to the Western Conference Finals and have been willing to shake it up. Like, that's kind of the NBA we're in right now.
I just have never seen a player who is clearly really good. Like, I pissed people off when I said he's not a superstar when he was the best player on the Knicks and the Knicks were winning. Mm-hmm. And then he was so not a superstar that they were willing to turn around and trade him. But, like, if you look at him, good, not good enough for the Lakers. He then gets traded for AD. He's in New Orleans a year, basically gets given away to the Knicks, then basically gets given away to Minnesota. Like, Julius Randle is the all-time, hey, he's good enough to say you got something, and he's the immediate focal point, but like 3 years from now, you're going to want to get rid of him.
Yeah, and it also just wouldn't fit really with anything the Cavs do. But
it's also old.
Yeah, it doesn't work, but it was people throwing that out there, and it was what it was. But the main point is that Minnesota is willing to mix and really shake it up every single season while having a massive amount of success. And maybe I'm not accounting enough for the idea that in the NBA right now, it seems like everyone is of that ilk. They want to constantly make changes and constantly turn over the roster. But Kobe hasn't operated that way since arriving with Donovan. Like, he's kept the core four intact, and we have to account for the idea that he assembled this team. Clearly, he, even though we might not think the puzzles fit, clearly he's invested a lot in the idea that they do.
Well, and I think it's like Andrew Berry with his draft picks. Isaac Okoro,
exactly right,
has just not found his fit here. I do think Isaac is a top seven, top eight player in the NBA, and I think he could be, I don't want to make a one for one, but could he have a role like Nesmith has in Indy? Yeah, I think he could be the sixth or seventh guy off the bench. Because I think his skill set has evolved. He just hasn't found it here in Cleveland. Darius doesn't really fit what you do anymore, or doesn't fit alongside Donovan enough to substantiate not making that. But yeah, okay, but Kobe drafted him. Even Evan, the most far-fetched point of the Mobley for Giannis talk was, well, that's the best player Kobe's drafted, and that's the thing that he can point to with Dan Gilbert and say, this is why I'm here. Look what I can do.
Yeah, I think...
Until Jalen Tyson has a breakout.
Just you wait.
I've been saying it.
Just you wait. Do we have any alliteration with Tyson at all?
What do you mean?
The Tyson train. It's right there. It's right there in front of us. Oh. The Tyson train keeps on rolling.
I mean, you answered it before we really got to workshop it.
I didn't have it until I spit it out there.
Well, now I just feel like all I can hear is the Tyson train.
It's coming down those tracks.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
But so, to get to the initial question, there is going to be an element of surprise of, oh, he actually had the bees to do it. Like, he hasn't, and maybe this is the other way.
I'm not convinced he does.
Maybe this is the other way of looking at it. And I've said this a bajillion times since the trade was made. It was an all-time put-him-on-the-table kind of move.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a part of me that thinks for this team to win a championship moving forward, you're going to need another all-time put-him-on-the-table
move. The difference here is that at that time, when he made that move for Donovan Mitchell, he was already having Jason Lloyd pieces out there calling for his job. I mean, and Jason's talked about the amount of pieces he's written and things attached to that, and he is now obviously mended and everything's good with him and Kobe. But like at that time, and it wasn't just Jason. People were calling for a change, and he made a big swing, and the swing worked out. Like I think so many things about Kobe Altman is just job preservation. And I think there's a lot with GMs in general, so I'm very guilty of that. But in this instance as well, what keeps your job better? Keeping the core four and saying, man, I really believed in the development of Evan Mobley. I believed in Atkinson not going to, you know, France in the summer and being able to actually spend time with these guys, running it back, winning 60 regular season games. And then if you fall short after this next season, then you get another chance to go ahead and take that big swing elsewhere. The big swing will be there waiting for you. You don't get punished after this season if you're Kobe Altman.
If you go through another 60 win season and you top on the second round of the playoffs, Kobe's the next fall guy.
He's not getting fired if you win 60 games.
Back. It's Dan Gilbert. I don't mean that he's lucky, but any GM is lucky to get a second contract from Dan Gilbert in the first place. He's going to get a third contract for topping out in the second round of the playoffs from Dan spending second apron money?
I'm not saying you get a contract extension, but he's not in the spot where you get fired. If you win 60 games next year, and even if you have the same repeat performance in the playoffs, you go to Dan Gilbert and say, okay, now's the time we make that big swing. Now we shake it up a little bit. We couldn't do it last year because we believed in this team. Now we shake it up. And I think that's the route if I'm Coby Altman. If we're talking about job preservation, that's what I'm selling.
I don't think you're taking into account the Dan Gilbert part of this. I think Dan, once you get to this point, and listen, I think it's a great point.
We are in the same thing with Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry. You have to account for those type of owners always. You have to, but it's been weird that Jimmy Haslam with Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry has been a different Jimmy Haslam. Dan Gilbert and Coby Altman, it's a different relationship than what we've seen historically.
So I don't think 64 wins or I don't think the first seed in the East, I don't think that's what saved Coby this season. I think it was Donovan re-signing a year ago. I think it was. But I think if you top out for three straight years in the second round of the playoffs next year, and let's say it ends in another gentleman's sweep in the divisional round, oh, by the way, you're going to be 1 year away from a Donovan decision, so you're beholden to what does Donovan want. I don't think Coby gets two of those opportunities. And I think you're right to say, well, he traded out of desperation 3 years ago. I think we're getting close to that desperate point. And desperation isn't just about for job. It's about understanding you can't just continue to top out in the second round of the playoffs. You will either lose Donovan. You might end up getting to a point where Evan realizes this isn't great. And, oh, by the way, you still have to make the deal. You have to make a decision on Darius long term. Like, it's getting going time. I think Dan Gilbert, the Dan Gilbert we all know and love, I think Dan Gilbert knows that too.
I would bet he gets one more season, and then he'd have to make drastic changes. But I don't think if he won 60 games, it cost him his job.
In case we missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.